All right, it was picture day at the ballpark today, Kevin, and I've got a really funny line I could use. It's not funny, but kind of a good segue off that picture day. Hopefully it turned out better than the picture of today's game, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not even going to bother going there. That would be beneath me. And quite frankly, I'm not entirely certain this game, a 6-3 loss to the Texas Rangers, is worth my best effort anyhow. Much like the Toronto Blue Jays. They are aware, Kevin, that this is a big series, correct? All the talk about fearlessness, et cetera, et cetera. They're aware. Like, do you think they're aware? Do you think they're aware that the playoffs are in the balance here? Not a lot of energy out there. Not a lot happening. I expect them to try harder. Damn it, it's a try league, Kevin. You know that as well as I do.
So you want to see them sprint to home plate. Be ready to hit.
I want to see a fight.
You do?
And I want to see a whole bunch of people benched.
Drop the batting gloves. Get after it. How about their own bench just getting a fight with each other? Show some passion.
Well, given the way this series has gone, nobody would hit anybody. So, I mean, that's unless it was Davis Schneider. 6-3, the Jays have, they've lost this game. They have lost the season series to the Texas Rangers, which is vital in terms of a possible tie, although, quite frankly, there are days where I think maybe I don't even know if it's even worthwhile talking about ties. Biggest series of the year so far, Kevin Barker. Biggest series of the year by far, Bo and Vladdy, 0-for-8 each with 4 strikeouts. From Vladdy, that's 0-for-16 by my math with 4 strikeouts. It's no bueno.
Yeah, look, but Bo, you know, Bo before he got hurt was tension free, right? It was free and easy. Everything was connected. It was going in the direction it was supposed to go in. You know, he's got the front side turn a little bit, you know, more than normal, I think. He's really trying to stay inside the ball. He wants to stay behind the baseball, which allows him to go that little inside-out swing and add a little length to his swing. Look, he's in between, right? We mentioned this, on our show, that when you come back, you got that many parts. You know, when you wrap the barrel as much as he does, it's going to take you some time, right? And now you're facing teams that are trying to get you out because they're in the same boat you're in. Vladdy, I've been saying this, until he buys into making a mechanical change, this up and down thing, we're going to continue to see this. It's hard. Again, I've been the one guy in his camp, but it's real hard to take the dude serious until he actually starts hitting fastballs. Like, you could say all those things about how much he chases and, you know, the breaking balls and he looks lost. Look, until he actually can get it out front consistently on a fastball. It don't even have to be one. I mean, Max Scherzer wasn't throwing that hard tonight. I mean, he's topping out 96, 97 occasionally. Most of the time it was 94s, right? There's some good pitches in there to hit. Was it more Max than the lineup? I don't think so. I think it's the lineup, right? It was those good swings and key spots, right? It was the second inning. Kiermaier gets with a couple of dudes on, gets the breaking ball. Instead of taking that breaking ball with some length to left center, he rolls over to the first baseman. That's a bad swing. The Kevin Biscio 3-2 fastball. When you hit where you hit with a dude standing in scoring position, you got to be ready to hit the heater. When you're late, you don't get the foot down on time, you're playing catch up with your barrel, you get jammed, you get a little lollipop to left field. That's the thing, right? One team had really good swings when it mattered. The other team didn't. That's the difference between, you know, a team that wins and a team that loses.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590-63. The Blue Jays have lost my very good friend Tom Young here in the booth. He's put up the flame retardant material all around us now. All around us, the flame retardant material. So feel free to call and vent. Now maybe walk me off the ledge. We should have a thing where we take turns walking each other off the ledge, although
I'm not on the ledge. That.
I'm not either. They're out of a playoff spot now. I can't say I'm surprised based on what I've seen through these first two games. I'm beginning to realize now how Texas must have looked when they were all alone in first place in the AL West. But we talked about this. I mean, they're done with the cookies. You know, they're done with the semi-pro 4A, AAA, AA lineups. You know, they're facing serious teams now for the rest of the year. After this series, it's all in the East, and we know how that's gone for these dudes this year. Yeah, it's, I mean, Kevin, it's, you know what? Tell me something that's going to make me happy. Tell me something that's going to make me happy, Kevin.
You say Kikuchi's pitching tomorrow, and he's really good.
416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Russ in New Jersey. How are you, Russ?
Well, used to losing to Oakland for the second night in a row, so maybe that will make you happy, huh? I don't know. You know, listen, I've watched a lot of Texas games this year, and that team can't pitch to save their life, especially in the last month, to score four runs and tonight three. And like you said, Vladdy and Bo. Now, you know, Espinal, I would have benched him right then. I would have taken him out of the game. How do you, and he's smiling there at second base. He's down in the replay, like, yeah, he made a nice, beautiful slide. The bottom line is, what is your you almost killed the rally. Number two is, I would have never let. I know May, you know, Mays has been great, but Seager's best period of right now in the American League. I'm walking him, and I know they walked him in the ninth, and they didn't get the result they wanted. But I wouldn't have brought in the lefty to pitch to see. The guy's just so hot. But the bottom line is, we can't score runs, and the most frustrating part about it is, the Horwitzes, the Schneiders, the Biggios, the guys that, you know, 3 months ago you weren't expecting anything from, are hitting, you know, nicely. And Bichette and Guerrero, and I'm not going to get on Bichette because he had a great season for the most part until he got hurt. But, you know, these guys are the guys that need to carry the load. And like you guys keep saying, if they get into the playoffs, which I still think there's a good chance, especially because Seattle plays Houston, you know, seven times at the end of the season. If they get into the playoffs, I could see them winning it all because they have pretty good pitching, but they got to get there first. And you, like you said, you know, it's the American League East. I think everyone, Boston, wants to beat Toronto. The Yankees definitely want to beat Toronto. Tampa might be playing for something still if they can. You know, I think they play Baltimore this weekend, so they could be playing for something. So, you know, they're going to have to earn it to get in. But, like I said, Oakland's helping them out for the second night in a row tonight.
Hey, Russ, just hang on the line there. I did want to ask you, you know, you talked about Tim Mesa. Are you getting as concerned as I am about this bullpen now? Because, you know, this is, I mean, it's not exactly, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, other than I guess Eric Swanson came out tonight and his return from the IL. I'm not getting a lot of clean innings from dudes in the bullpen. You know, and I'm not going to bury the bullpen because the bullpen and the starting rotation are the reason that these guys even have a sniff of first place and aren't fighting for last place with the New York Yankees. But, man, it's like I kind of feel for John Schneider right now. It's almost like you're playing bullpen Jeopardy because I don't know who he puts in there that's going to give him a clean inning. Even his closer's been scuffling.
But you remember last year, even, you know, you go back to last year, Romano always put that – I remember that Pittsburgh series last year. That was a series that started the whole rally right after they lost that Thursday night game to the Cubs. And Romano loaded the bases, I remember, against Pittsburgh in the ninth inning with nobody out, and he got out of it. So that's when – you're right. You know what? And the bullpen, you know, Schneider made a lot of times this year, took the starter out a little early. And some of those guys might be overworked. Now, a guy like Swanson, it might have been great that he was hurt because maybe, you know, he took a deep breath now and he refilled the tank. But you're 100% right at this point of the year, you know, especially when the bullpen has worked a lot. But let's be honest, how many good bullpens are there in baseball these days? They're not very, very many. You look at the Dodgers, they're like 17th or 18th in pitching, and they're winning games. The Braves are just beating teams up by just scoring a lot of runs. They just gave up the lead tonight again, second day in a row. So you're right, 100%. You know, the bullpen is not as sharp as it was, but I think it comes with the territory of being in a lot of games, and it's the end of the season. And, you know, but like I said, I think if they find a way to get in, there's nobody. Baltimore, they haven't been there yet, so let's find out in their loss of Batista. I don't know how long that is. But all the other teams, I can see the Jays beating him. I really, really can. But like I said, you got to get in before you start talking about who you're beating.
Russ, appreciate the call, man. As always, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Kevin, I want to talk about the Rangers' approach against Hyunjin Ryu, in particular in the fourth inning, second time through. Through three innings, 40 pitches, 26 strikes, one walk. Looked pretty much in command. Fourth inning, second time, Corey Seager sees him, swings at the first pitch, singles. Robbie Grossman comes up, swings at the first pitch, home run. Is that, we know Corey Seager swings at the first pitch a lot, so I don't think there's any grand plan there. That's the way Corey Seager thinks. But I'm interested in Robbie Grossman in particular, okay? Second time you've seen this guy, the dude in front of you has just swung at the first pitch. Are you thinking first pitch automatically yourself? Are you thinking you're going to get a first pitch, a hittable first pitch from Ryu?
Yeah, I think you're looking up. You're looking for something that's not spinning, right? That's what you're looking for. You're trying to basically that second time through, they're trying to stay away from the slow breaking ball. He had a really good one. You know, it was variance in the velocity of that thing. It was breaking late, right? It was just hard. It's hard to square that thing up unless he just hangs it up around the belt, and he wasn't doing that. I mean, give him credit, right? They saw what they saw the first time around, and then the second time around, it's what good offenses do, right? It's you make adjustments and you be very aggressive. That's the little bugaboo with the cutter, is when it's moving and the misses are good, right? Where the catcher ends up catching it is very important. If it's catching a bunch of the plate, it's 86 miles an hour. It's a BP heater. That's what Grossman hit, right? You can get the head out on that. You know, it's inner third. It's a little elevated. But give them credit, right? They were ready to hit. They were looking for something up that wasn't spinning. When you get it, you can't miss it. And this is sort of the thing. Who thought whenever they got up, I think it was 2-0, the game was over. I felt that way. Like this is sort of where they're at with the lineup. Yeah.
As soon as Robbie Grossman's ball went into the seats, I thought, all right, well, it was a good three innings. I mean, you don't have any faith in this lineup right now. Part of it is, I mean, it's not even injuries. You know, I was thinking about this. Yeah, Matt Chapman's out and you know, Bo's out for a while. But, you know, we had someone – I'm talking to Shai today on Blair and Barker about Kevin Kiermaier, and would you think about bringing him back? And Shai said, you know what? I mean, the thing with Kevin Kiermaier is he stayed healthy this year for the most part. And that got me thinking, again, coming into the year, part of our concern was how do you keep George Springer healthy? How do you keep Kevin Kiermaier healthy? Okay, Springer moving to right field, you assume that's going to allow him to be healthy. This is the thing, I just keep getting back to this, you know, the amount of things that have fallen in place for this team this year is much more on the positive side of the ledger than on the negative side of the ledger. I mean, it really is. When you look at even Alek Manoah, that could have been catastrophic. Nope. Starting rotation stabilized itself. This is a team that has had an awful lot go well for it this year, and they're out of a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, you got some guys offensively who are everyday guys who are underperforming, right? It's the good swings when it matters the most. I mean, Matt Chapman struggled forever with runners in scoring position. Like, he's been atrocious at it. You know, he's been a little bit better before he got hurt there, but up until that little bit better, I mean, he's one of the worst hitters with runners in scoring position in baseball. Varsho hitting cleanup. Like, you could go down the list here of just those really good swings that you see from good offenses that you rarely see from the Blue Jays, and that's what you need. You need one good swing against a good pitcher to beat them, and you rarely see it from the Blue Jays lineup.
Now, Max Scherzer, of course, was taken out of the game or took himself. Well, no, he was, let's face it, he was taken out of the game with what the Texas folks are saying was a right tricep spasm. He did not look comfortable. Obviously, we saw him after Jonah Heim detected him kind of falling awkwardly or stumbling awkwardly on a delivery. Jonah Heim goes to the mound. The trainer comes out. We saw Max sort of attempt to, you know, to raise his arms, and then he just shut it down. Right tricep spasm. I'm not a doctor, but that's getting that injury in September, man. You know, if you're the Texas Rangers, you got your fingers crossed right now.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I was thinking about this every time I go running because I'm old, I cramp up. Sort of the same kind of thing when you're an older guy, you've thrown as much as Max Scherzer has, right? It just, occasionally when you do it over and over and over again, just things tend to don't work the way they're supposed to be working. He was good. Like, he wasn't great tonight. I mean, he located, I think he made a decent pitch to, you know, some batters when it mattered the most. And for the Rangers' sake and for baseball's sake, he's, you know, baseball's better when he's pitching. So hopefully he can get past this and make his next start.
Brad and Aurora, you're at the game tonight.
Yeah, September 12th in a playoff race with a tiny crowd and no life. The give-a-crap factor in the dugout didn't look very high to me tonight. There was no leadership in that dugout. Just a lousy performance by the Blue Jays. I don't know. They got to give people something to get excited about. It just wasn't there tonight.
What do you expect in the way of leadership?
Well, someone to step up in a big situation and situationally put a ball in play instead of going up there and swinging at the first pitch when, like, whatever this reliever guy comes in. I don't know what his name was. What was his name? I don't know. He was a nobody. And Bichette comes up and swings at the first pitch. Maybe take a look at something. Put something in play. Step up. And how about Espinal, you know, taking
I think he did put it in play, actually.
Anyways, it just – I had a seat where I could see into the dugout, and it just looked like everybody was sitting there with no life. I mean, the –
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, the camera shots of the dugout that we saw. And thanks for the call, Brad. And if you're driving home from the park, drive safely. Look, the camera shots that we saw. I mean, Kevin, I think they're whipped. I think they're a whipped group right now. It wouldn't surprise me if some of them have checked out. I see nothing that suggests otherwise. And I'm not saying that they can't regain it, but you know, there's not a lot going on there right now. And it's got to be those guys are aware of what's going on.
Yeah, they've been playing playoff baseball since August 1st. Like, yeah, absolutely they know. They know what their issue has been all season, and it will continue to be that way. When your best players aren't being your best players, that's why the dugout looks the way it looks. Like, it's I mean, I don't know. I've been in a bunch of dugouts where your lineup just doesn't have it, right? It's you're trying to pass the baton, and you just, for whatever reason, can't do it. You know, again, Bo has got some really big-time tension in that swing, and when you do, you're not using both eyes, and you're not seeing the baseball the way you should be seeing it, and you tend to chase that way. And that's sort of what's happening now. Again, this is – you see it in Vladdy. I mean, he walks to the plate, he's whipped, right? It's – I said this to you. His first at-bat, when you're struggling, your first at-bat is the most important at-bat of the night because it sort of sets the tone. However that thing goes is sort of the way your night's going to go. And when it looks the way it's been looking – you know, it's just probably not going to be a good night for you.
That strikeout against Leclerc was atrocious. It was absolutely atrocious. You know, swinging at that at 83-mile-an-hour pitch that was way, way, way out of the zone. I mean, Vladdy, I almost think we might as well stop talking about Vladdy because I think this is Vladdy's year. There ain't no switch. There's no switch that's going to be turned on. If they're going to win, they're going to have to hope. If Vladdy comes up with one big hit a series, that might be what you got to hope for right now.
Yeah, I heard Buck tonight say
maybe what to hope so.
I heard Buck tonight say maybe they should sit him a game. Look, I've been in that situation. A game ain't going to do it. Like, if you're going to sit him, you'd have to sit him 2 or 3 days, and they just can't afford to do that. They ain't got nobody else, right? It's you're hoping that he can put it together, be connected, catch it out front, and change the game with a crooked homer. He just consistently, for whatever reason, can't do that.
Jim in Niagara, you've got a laundry list of things to talk about. We'll try to get them quickly.
Tito, Jeff, and Koya, Kevin, I thank you. Love you guys. I want to thank you for letting me speak at the Blue Jays eulogy. Thank you for being the black leather couch for my Blue Jays problems. And, you know what? I mentioned this last night, and it wasn't what I was going to open up with, but you said wit, like they look drained, and this is what I bring back again, and I bring it back to the Latin players that were moved, like it or not. And I know a lot of people misconstrue this, especially here in North America, when Latin players are celebrating, having fun, joking around, when they were doing the little juju thing in the last year with the hats, you know, for comebacks, but that's the way Latin players play baseball. They play with a passion. They play with an enthusiasm towards the game. They're getting paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. And that's the thing. They love it. They absolutely love what they do. You cannot change these guys to be, you know, prim and proper, you know what I mean, reserved and whatnot. That's not what makes them great. They got to be able to be comfortable in their own skin, and that's where it brings me to Vladdy. Like, Vladdy, like, again, we're talking about his approach at the plate. I mentioned this about him being lost. The joy, it just, you know, like, this team, and somebody mentioned this to me today, where's the passion? And even the caller who was at the game, he mentioned that. There's no passion. Yes, last year, sure, okay, could be looked at showboating, whatever, and almost superficial to want to put on a home run jacket, but this team was having fun. They had a swagger. Maybe I was wrong to relate them to the 2015 team, but again, they had a swagger. This team doesn't. They show up, right? They all look tight. They're playing tight, every guy, and you're right. There is, you cannot sit Vladdy. That is a hill you're going to die on, because there is, yeah, like Mr. Barker said, there's nobody else.
No, there isn't. And, you know, look, I got to say this, though, about Vladdy, because I know there's another caller on hold who wants to talk about the home run jacket. And I can't believe we're talking about the home run jacket a year later. But and hang on the line, Jim. I'll let you finish your thoughts as well. But, I mean, I just want to say this. You know, we talk to people around the team, and everybody says that the guy that Vladdy was closest to that could get into his head or get into his face was Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Fine, I don't know. I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't know that. But my point is this. Baseball is a business. Vladdy's not a kid. Vladdy's been around for a couple of years now. And you know what? If he has a long career, he's going to have a lot of favorite teammates traded or retired or waived on him. And I'm sorry, you got to suck it up. I mean, you really do. It's going to happen. It happens to everybody. Your best friend, your best teammate, they're always going to get traded or leave as a free agent. So, yeah, you know, I think we need to move beyond that. You know, Vladdy being unhappy. Vladdy's getting paid well. Vladdy's still a young guy. There's no reason for him to be unhappy with this. If he needs somebody that he can cut up with in the dugout, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, got to move beyond that. And Jim, finish your thoughts, and then we'll take a quick break here.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Blair, I agree with you. Right? Like, you're right. He's getting paid millions of dollars. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be blind to that and say that is, you know, that he should. He's 24. He's not my son. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a kid.
Yeah.
But at the same point, let's talk about. Then refer to the team dynamics, and that's as far I'm going to go, is maybe just the team dynamics are off. Which brings me to my point about, again, and I know we're beating a dead horse here, but that you know, the moves in the, you know, pre-season in regards to trading Moreno, I never understood this. I've never seen anything where a top 10 MLB prospect is part of a trade package, and you don't receive an all-star caliber player in return. And not to say that Farsho, you know, hasn't brought anything positive, because let's face it, he's one of the top defending outfielders in the league. But I think this management has, you know, it's evident now, and, you know, whatever. We can all say we're brilliant right now for pointing out the obvious, but we traded our second-best power hitter, you know, a guy that put fear into the opposing lineups. And I really feel that a lot of guys have suffered because of that in losing Teoscar. And this management failed. You know, they put all their pushed all their eggs in the Vladdy, Bo and Springer basket, right? And even Chapman's, you know, banking on them to turn it around. And to me, 110 games into the season, you know what you are. They failed to bring in that big bat. And just, I want to get your take on the Manoah story. You know, I don't know what it is about any guy in Toronto that wears number 6 lacks self-awareness, except for Garth Orange. But again, Alec Manoah, like, is he living under a rock to realize that he was the worst starting pitcher in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
And he really needs to think about recommitting himself. You know, whatever he's doing, saying that he has a strict weight training regimen program is, come on, man, we're not buying that fool's gold, because to us, let's face it, he looks out of shape. He looks, and I hate to use the term, I'm not shaming, but he looks fat, right? What's, you know, I'm really shocked by this. But your thoughts, gentlemen, and again, I just can't thank you enough. I love your show. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to take a break. I mean, the Manoah story. Nobody knows. Actually, that's not true. I think there are a couple of people who know, but they're not saying exactly what's gone on there.
I think it's smart they don't say.
I think it's probably smart. At this point in time, I think it's probably smart if nobody around the organization...
Out of sight, out of mind is the best thing
says
right now
anything.
For Manoah.
That is exactly it. It is an issue. It's something that's going to have to be addressed in the offseason, but quite frankly, right now, the Jays have much, much bigger issues than that, especially after tonight's 6-3 loss to the Texas Rangers. The Rangers have taken the first two games of this four-game series. They have now won the season series against the Blue Jays, which is important in the event of a tie in the standings. There's no playoff games anymore this year, no one-game playoff. It's record in games between the two teams and then record within the division. And, of course, if you know anything about the Blue Jays, you know that the record in the division, well, it pretty much stinks as much as, as much as their offense in these first two games. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Take a look around the out-of-town scoreboard. Get back to your calls. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Are you kind of expecting to head into the final week of the season with not a whole lot decided if you just kind of look at it from here?
It seems like that's the way it's lining up a little bit, yeah. We were just talking about it after the game, you know, quickly as a group, you know, staff-wise, where it's, you know, it changes every, you know, 10 minutes, it seems like. So you got to move on to the next game. You don't even really do too much scoreboard watching, you know. You kind of wake up the next day and you go, okay, this is what happened, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a grind for sure. So, you know, we got to control what we can and just try to pile up the wins. But, yeah, I think it's going to go right down to the end, seems like.
It's John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Probably should start piling up the hits instead of worrying about piling up the wins at this point. Time for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet in things like player props, totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. 19-plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. The New York Yankees are leading Boston 2-1. The only reason I mention that is they're fighting for last place in the AL East. Oakland, if we look at the wild card scores, Oakland is up 6-2 over the Houston Astros. The Seattle Mariners are leading the LA Angels 3-0. And I'm trying to get these other scores here. St. Louis beat Baltimore. No one really cares. Baltimore's going to win the division, and or Tampa will win it. And Minnesota beat Tampa. So there you go. The Twinkies beating Tampa. The wild card standings are thus. Tampa Bay still in front, 89-57. Texas, they are a half game up in the Toronto Blue Jays. They're 80-64. The Jays are 80-65. Still in the playoff spot for now with Seattle playing. The Jays are tied with the Mariners in the loss column. They have one more win than the Mariners. So the Jays, there's a chance that they could be able to, they might finish the night still in the playoff spot. Shout out to friend of the show, by the way, Josh Donaldson. Homered in his first game for the Milwaukee Brewers, now has as many home runs as Vladdy in September. So, there you
Hoo-hoo.
Go. Well, he
hot
does.
Take.
Not a hot take. I'm just throwing it out there. Am I wrong?
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, I just said.
I think Vladdy's hit a homer in September, isn't he?
I said he's tied with Josh. Took Josh one game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nick in Oshawa.
Yes,
you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh,
we're living the dream. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Listen, some of these people that are right about saying, you know, Vladdy is not a kid and all that stuff. You know, the biggest problem is if you guys look back, and I know you guys are sports guys, if you look back when they took away the jacket and they told Vladdy he backed up in the dugout, that's how this stuff has started, okay? Team does not feel like a team now. They don't feel like they're a team. They don't act like a team. If you look in the dugout, these guys got their heads down and everything else. And that fellow that said about, well, you're not a kid anymore. You know, if you're playing for $40 million or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But if you're having a good time, you're going to play a heck of a lot better. Now, these guys, everybody's going down on the Jays and everything else. Listen, they put the home run jacket back, tell the guys to act the way they want to act, and then they'll play better ball. And that's all I got to say about this. I've been so ticked off at management for taking that away, telling the guys not to have fun in the dugout. And, yeah, you're right. Gurriel is a a good friend of Vlad's, but that's not the problem. The problem is that they're not allowed to be themselves in the dugout.
Appreciate the call. Tom Young says they still have the water bucket. That's true. We still have, God, we still have the water bucket. We still have the water bucket.
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't think the home run
management.
Jacket.
It's not management took it away.
It's Ooh. Not. No, Ooh. It, you know, the story that yeah, people may not want to believe this because I know that they think that everybody's happy and loves everybody. Players took away the jacket, folks.
There you go.
Players took away the jacket.
Wasn't the front office.
Wasn't the front office. Players took away the jacket. I'm not saying everybody was thrilled with it when it was here, but the players took away the jacket. You know, and that's, you know, the players, when it comes to stuff like that, players run the show. So, yeah, with all due respect, the jacket's got absolutely nothing, zero to do with this. Zero, unless, you know, the jacket took away some of Vladdy's sort of common sense approach to hitting with it, which I don't think it did. Sean in Caledon. Sean, hello. Sean, hello.
No, I'm here. I'm
hey,
here.
Sean. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
I think we got our two best pitchers going the next two games and another good one on Friday. So how does three in a row sound?
Ooh. Not happening, but continue.
I like it. I like it.
I do want to let our manager know that Trevor Richards has given up 7 earned runs in his last 4 outings, so maybe don't bring him out there in the 9th anymore when we have a 3-run deficit and make it a 6-run deficit. But
Hell, at that point, honestly, with these guys, I mean, John's not with these guys, the 3-run deficit is game over. I mean, I don't care who they send out with a 3-run deficit in the 9th inning. They're not going to score 4 runs in the 9th inning. No chance in hell of that happening. Not with this lineup.
Now, you can
put Barker. You can put Barker out there to pitch for all. It's not happening. When they're down that by that much that late in the game, doesn't matter who they pitch. I might even put a position guy in there.
Well, the main reason I wanted to call was I think we can all agree that Davis Schneider's been a revelation, and
yes, he
calling
has.
Him calling him up was a real spark. We needed back in Boston, and he's obviously kept it going, hitting really well. Why would they call up Nathan Lukes when they put Brandon Belt on the IL today and not take a chance on a guy like Orelvis Martinez or some other guy down there like Barger and just see if he can give us a spark like Schneider did? Nathan Lukes has done nothing for us all year. What does he do? Pinch hit once a week? Like, I don't get it. Like, bring up somebody that might be a Davis Schneider. Take a chance.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the only thing I don't – look, we've seen other organizations. Hell, the Chicago Cubs brought up Pete Crow Armstrong the other day. They brought up their top prospect. Teams have done it. Look, the only thing I can guess is Aurelvis Martinez and Addison Barger, they're doing what they got to do in AAA right now. I think the Jays are probably happy to leave them down there. You got to be careful bringing guys up in a crisis situation because if they were, let's just say that today they brought up Addison Barger. Let's just say for argument's sake they brought up Addison Barger. What does that say to Addison Barger? We brought you up to help us save the year. Help us save the year, kid. Same thing with Aurelvis Martinez. I'm not a fan of bringing dudes up in a crisis situation necessarily unless you are absolutely, absolutely convinced that they can contribute. You know, as far as bringing Nathan Lukes up, I mean, he's, you know, he's the last guy. He's your last option for a bunch of things. But, I mean, Kevin, I don't know how you feel about it, but, man, given the way things are around here right now, I'd rather have Aurelvis and Addison just stay down in Buffalo and finish out your AAA season strongly and can't wait to see you in spring training because you may have a job in spring training.
Yeah, you got to remember, it's not their fault. The reason why the
Correct.
Offense at the big league level is you know, not living up to what everybody thought it was going to be. And to ask them to come up and do things, they probably wouldn't play every day either. Either one of those guys know how to do that, right? Sit over there for a couple days and come off and have, you know, a short, quick swing to the ball and hit velocity and then try to hit breaking balls, especially against the teams they're about to play, right? You're getting the American League East teams. It's a lot to ask, all right? It's, you know, hopefully see a couple of those guys next year. They can help out, and there's going to be some spots available. But, hey, look, I think you got what you got. It's up to them boys to put on their big boy pants, get out there and have some big boy at bats. How about that, Jeff?
Matt and Coburg, you want to know where the – you want to talk about clutch?
I do. Love your guys' show. You're always entertaining. Love the cynicism from time to time. Keep doing what you're doing.
From time to time, thank you. I've improved and I've become an optimist.
We all need it once in a while, right?
Only once in a while.
Clutch. I mean, Bart has some big bats. I'm so sick and tired of watching. I mean, not that Vladdy or Bo is making the money yet, but probably $25 to $40 million a year players, and they can't run a count when it matters. They love swinging at the first pitch, whatever it is, fastball, breaking ball, anything. It's just so frustrating to watch. You know, I want to see this team, and all of them, not just Vladdy or Bo, but all of them. I want to see them all work counts, force pitchers to throw more pitches, get the starter out of the game early, work into the bullpen, and just grind it out like they're supposed to be doing. It's really frustrating to watch. I just think they owe it to themselves and the rest of the people in that organization to have a little bit more discipline at the plate instead of, swinging at 83-mile-an-hour pitches, big whiffs, like you mentioned with Vladdy and Leclerc. Anyway, I'll let you guys chat it up. I was going to throw Vladdy under the bus some more, but I think beating a dead horse is probably the phrase that plays in this regard, given the night and what's been the discussion of late. So, anyway, keep doing what you're doing, guys. It's great. I'll hang up here and listen along. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Yeah, Kevin, I'll turn that over to you.
Bo Bichette's hitting .349 on the first pitch. He's slugging .542. He's got an OPS .892. Like to say that Bo needs to stop doing whatever Bo's doing. I mean, it's been working. I tell you this. Like it's hard when you have an injury. And maybe he's favoring that. Like that's the anchor of his entire swing. That sort of sets it in motion to where it needs to go. This is what I said. Whenever you see dudes that coiling more will tell you they're fighting something. And that, for me, is where he's at, right? And when you're not having both eyes on the baseball, you tend to chase. You tend to swing at things and hit balls where you normally don't hit them because you're trying to do things outside the box. Vladdy, I mean, for Vlad, I went on that little rant today on our show because the elite ones make the moves and changes that they have to make. Tell me why in the heck Vladdy is late all the time. It ain't working. Why don't you do something else? That's the only thing that I don't understand that. Like, it's baseball and it's a round thing with a round thing. People think that's funny. It is. It's hard to hit one of those baseballs. But when you're really good at it and you're having issues with something, try and give yourself a consistent chance doing it another way. Why have we not seen that? Like, that is the thing I just don't get, Jeff. I don't understand it. Like, I would have stood on my head if I had to when I played. Why hasn't Vladdy tried to do that? I don't get it.
Yeah, look, there is a story here about this team sitting approach or lack thereof, and I don't think we're going to know the full story until the end of the year when stuff usually comes out. But, I think you're absolutely right. There's something going on here, and but we're not going to know until the season's done one way or another. I do believe this, though. I do believe that regardless of what happens in the postseason, you're going to see different hitting coaches in here next year, regardless of what happens.
You've had some serious names have some month-long slumps.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
6-3, the Blue Jays have lost to the Texas Rangers. They get to do it again tomorrow night, 7:07 first pitch on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. Blair and Barker will be along from 5 to 7 on Sportsnet and the Sportsnet Radio Network to get you set for the game. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer in rust protection, visit crown.com today.